From Knoxville, Tennessee, welcome to another action-packed, exciting hour of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Wrestling the way it used to be and wrestling the way you like it. Hi, wrestling fans. I'm Bob Caudle. And as I say, we've got an action-packed hour in store for you this week. Here on Smoky Mountain Wrestling, you'll see the debut of Nitro Danny Davis. Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff will be here. Hollywood Bob Holly. We're going to take a look back at some of the wild brawl that occurred right here last week involving the Fantastics. And, of course, we got our big main event. And this guy right here tells me we're in for a lot of action and a big surprise. Dutch Mantell, my cohort, he's going to wrestle this week, right,
Dutch? First of all, I'm looking forward to that wild match between the Fantastics last week. And a big treat today for Smoky Mountain wrestling fans, Dirty Dutch, I'm going to wrestle in the flesh right here on television. And don't be surprised if all the wrestlers turn out of the dressing room, because I'm going to show everybody today exactly how a pro does it.
Hey, we're going to be looking forward to that, and we're about ready to go with the action, fans. Let's go up to the ring.
Welcome back to our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. Mike Mills here with Doc Turner again, and this week we are reviewing and recapping Smoky Mountain Wrestling episode number 5 from February the 29th, 1992, out of the Knoxville Civic Coliseum leap year episode, as it aired on the 29th of February of 1992. Doc, we're back for another week on Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast, man. How you doing today?
I'm all right.
Why you sound so salty?
I'm just, you know, we'll see.
Okay. So again, we're at the Knoxville Civic Coliseum this week. It's a very small Civic Coliseum in my eyes, but it appears from an ad that runs during the telecast and some additional research that this is actually the ballroom for the Coliseum. There can't be more than 125, maybe 150 people in this building at most. And I doubt they could fit 300 with a configuration of it. So that's just a quick note about this this Coliseum or the Civic Coliseum that they're in Knoxville. Doc, did you as you were watching this, did you pick up on that? You're like, man, this building is very weird, very small.
You know, we usually talk about the venue at the beginning and talk about, you know, how the look of the venue adds a lot to the ambiance of the product. My note on this is the saddest looking place on earth.
Why you can insult those people?
I'm not talking about the people. It's just the building itself. It looks like the color scheme looks like it's 30 years old. It looks like somebody probably got molested there. I don't know. The next two episodes, because episode 6 is in the same building. It really made it hard for me to get into it because it's just, I mean, I ain't no architect, but it's just, man, it's a depressing building. So I'd like to take a hat off to the talent for working through this bullshit.
Okay, you're being negative. Come on now. All right, let's jump into it, man. So we jump into the show, and it's a very first match of the card is Danny Davis and our you know, one of our underrated wrestlers of all time when we did our top 5, which was Barry Horowitz. If you've listened to me a million times, you know I think Barry Horowitz was just a completely underrated talent. But we got Nitro Danny Davis, who's making his in-ring debut in this match because he's done a couple of promos up until this point. I've raved about Barry Horowitz, like I said previously, on Smoky Mountain show, on our Smoky Mountain show and BTT episodes. But this guy really is a great technician and pro wrestler. I mean, did you see the sequence where Horowitz went for an abdominal stretch to a cradle to the Stinger Death Drop that Dutch mentions? And he's the only guy that uses that move. I call it the Stinger Death Drop because that's what it was before I ever saw Sting do it. They don't call it the Death Drop, but Bob calls it a neck breaker of sorts. But it's a Stinger Death Drop for all intents and purposes.
Do you think Horowitz got talked to in the back about getting too much offense?
I don't think so. Nah. I mean, they go through a series of moves where Davis hits Horowitz with a hip toss or Beal out of the corner and then a backdrop to Barry. And then it ends in a cradle by Danny Davis onto Horowitz. It was a good quick match as you know, I guess they're trying to build up Nitro Danny Davis because I don't know what's coming. 4 minutes and 14 seconds. I don't think he got talked to. I mean, Danny Davis ended up still winning, but it did showcase kind of what Barry Horowitz could do.
Yeah, Danny Davis is around for a little bit, but don't get too attached.
See, that I had a feeling of that. I had a feeling about that. There's just something about it. There's something that was missing as I watched it. So yeah. You got any notes on that one, Doc?
No, that was a good match. I mean, it two good guys having a solid match. Smoky Mountain usually does a pretty good job of having a good match at the top of the show, and I don't think this is any different.
I agree. We go to Jimmy Golden promo, and Jimmy tells Rock and Roll Robert Gibson he's going to chop him down to size. Nothing special here. It's not terrible in any sense at all. It's just your regular 1980s, you know, family-friendly heel promo because there's, you know, I think they're setting up for later. And I think that's the main – it's the main event of the evening. It's Robert Gibson and Jimmy Golden. So just quick promo kind of building up that later in the show.
Yeah, nothing special.
We then get a recap of last week's action with the Fultons and Koloff and Golden that we discussed last week that turned into an all-out brawl. But we also get the Fultons cutting a promo talking about how they're in Japan, but they'll be back in to fight with the Koloffs and Golden soon enough. I don't know if that was legit at that time, if they were actually in Japan or not, but it could be believable, or they just could have been working other towns. Who knows? However, back at the desk, Bob Armstrong announces a $500 fine that will be levied out against all parties in the fight, but that the Fultons do have a legal gripe, and he is granting them a six-man match against the Koloffs and Golden when they return. Armstrong also tells Dutch that he's made primetime Brian Lee aware that as long as Dutch is at the desk, he can't touch him, but when he gets to that ring, Primetime Brian Lee can do as he pleases. I thought that was a nice little touch on just all the way around, you know, what Bully Bob was saying here. There's a lot going on here. One is, the Fultons won a rematch with the Koloffs because of the melee that went down and how they got cheated and, you know, the boot to the back of the head from Vladimir to Jackie. So they want to get their comeuppance. They want to get the comeback because they're the baby faces. And I also like how Armstrong tells Dutch, look, if you don't want to wrestle this guy, that's fine. And if you're at this desk, Primetime Brian Lee can't touch you. But if you go to the ring, Primetime Brian Lee can do as he pleases with you. I like that. I mean, you know, what were your thoughts on that?
I thought it was good. Armstrong is good here. He is the only time I'll point out that I've ever seen him in the course of Smoky Mountain, in a solid color shirt. He's wearing a solid white shirt. I don't know.
Still short sleeve.
Still short sleeve with the tie.
No pocket protector.
Right. But note glasses. I have here, and it's something kind of ongoing. We talk about the shortness of these episodes, 50 minutes, 48 minutes. The thing about Smoky Mountain is there's lots of recaps from previous action almost every week. Yeah. So, I mean, you can really, if you're up to on the product, you can cut even a couple of more minutes out if you skip some of that stuff. The other thing I noticed here, because, you know, Armstrong's still trying to, you know, position himself as the long arm of the law. Did you notice in the background that Carl Stiles appeared to be wearing Dutch's hat?
Yes, he did have Dutch's hat on. It's just very, very strange, but he did have Dutch's hat on. Yeah, good point about the recaps, too. And, you know, you got to remember back then, we're talking about an hour a week of professional wrestling. You didn't have social media that kept angles going up all week. You know, wrestling wasn't on your everyday news where you, you know, saw what went on and knew what was going on town to town. So I understand the recaps set in that era of wrestling because you had an hour a week, so you kind of had to refresh people's memories. Because, Doc, you know, man, we live busy lives, man. Every week, I mean, we'll go, man, that happened last week. You're like, I don't even remember that because you're so busy with everything. You know what I'm saying? So I understand that. It's a good touch, but you're right. You could, if you're watching it as fast as we are, you definitely could skip some of the recap promos.
Well,
so, let's move on
to everybody's favorite crippled manager.
So we got another Ron Wright sighting, Ron Wright promo. And Ron Wright tells us, I'd like to read one of the thousands of letters I've received from a fan. I love how you always showed good sportsmanship when those other wrestlers would try to harm and maim you. Here's $5 that I'd like to give you for your surgery, Mr. Wright. Maybe some other good Christians will help me out. Right, sis. This nearly breaks me down. They know I was a good Christian and clean scientific wrestler. Doc, how awesome
is
this?
I'm going to tell you right now, this is the highlight of the episode for me. Couple of things. You don't hear the term scientific wrestler anymore. It was a big term in the 80s in the PWI magazines, the After Mags. Rule breaker versus scientific wrestler was the baby face heel terminology. My note here says right as a stone cold carny. And then I've decided that there may be a drinking game here for the first few episodes of Smoky Mountain, is that every time Ron Wright says wrestler, you take a drink and see if you survive. And probably there's probably a Smoky Mountain drinking game that would be more than just that, which would be anytime Corny cuts a promo and Corny says the word hillbilly, Ron Wright says the word wrestler, or anything they show, or, you know, anything else that happens, you could build your own drinking game. So maybe that's something we'll put the fans in charge of, is to develop a Smoky Mountain wrestling drinking game.
You could certainly do that with no trouble at all. You might die if you're drinking every time Ron Rice says wrestler. Anyway, we go to the next match, because that is the highlight of the episode. Not that we want you to tune out to the rest of this, but we go to the next match, which is Bob Holly against Tommy Angel. It ends up being a 5 minute and 38 second match. The highlight of this match is Bob Cottle questioning Dutch about why Carl Stiles is standing behind Dutch as his bodyguard. And Dutch, again, we repeat from last week, he says primetime Brian Lee is dangerous. They then finally get off the topic of that and get on the topic of Bob Holly, who Dutch says is a great wrestler in the making and a future superstar. Bob Cottle can't seem to forget that Bob Holly is from Hollywood as part of the gimmick, and Cottle says, this guy isn't from Hollywood. And we get our favorite person on the episodes. We get Ron Wright rolling out to the ring, and they go into this thing about Ron Wright and how sad it is that he's in a wheelchair. This is a relatively hard-hitting match that, of course, Ron Wright helps out with as Wright grabs Tommy Angel's leg as he's going up to the top rope. And as Angel is distracted, Holly gets the advantage and ends up getting the upper hand on Angel. Bob Cottle and Dutch are recapping the end when Bob Cottle says, look at Ron Wright grab Angel's foot and holding him from climbing to the top rope, to which Dutch responds and says, oh, he's stepping on Ron Wright's hand. Look, not the best match, not the best segment between these guys, but it's one of those cheesy things that kind of makes Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Yeah,
good.
I didn't have a lot of notes here either. It is what it is. Moving on, there was a very, this may be one of the most confusing segments in the 4 years of wrestling for me. Smoky Mountain.
Yeah, it was weird because Orndorff, he starts talking about how he's held tons of titles everywhere and that Smoky Mountain is a hotbed of wrestling right now that everyone is coming to. You know, I give him credit here. He's trying to sell the public and the TV audience on how good Smoky Mountain is at that point, a product that's only 4 weeks old, 5 weeks old with this episode. He says he's had a talk with Bob Armstrong about this no pile driver rule since that's his finisher. Bob Cottle then goes into the rules, which, auto DQs, an automatic DQ is any type of low blow, pile driver, throwing someone over the top rope. And a DQ is a $500 fine for hitting the referee and using a foreign object during the match. But the promo itself was weird because you're listening to it in hindsight, maybe I'm not thinking this if I'm watching it when I'm younger, but as I watch it when I'm older, I'm trying to figure out, is he trying to play heel or is he trying to be a face?
Maybe the most confusing. It's only the most confusing when you tie it to the next week's episode, which we'll talk about next week. But it's just this promo in and of itself. Okay. But when you hear what comes next, it just doesn't make any, it doesn't have any flow to it. And what's the word I'm looking for? Consistency, I guess.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. So more to come, and the continuity of the story is probably one of the things that'll be
Caudle does, you know, he goes over the rules of the DQ for the low blow, the pile driver throwing someone. My note here says, I think these rules get forgotten sometime around 1994, maybe late 93.
Good to know. So those rules are out of the window at some point. So to make Smokey Mountain more appealing,
I would guess.
So if you don't
like those rules, just wait.
Just hang tight with us if you don't like the rules. All right, we go to a primetime Brian Lee promo where they tell Dutch he knows he can't touch him, and he's when he's in the ring, but if he sets foot if he's not in the ring, but if he sets foot in a ring, he's all his, and Dutch isn't going to be ready for primetime Brian Lee. Very short, right? You got anything else on that promo? Because it was a real short promo.
I have two quick things. He says, since day one, you've been running for me. Wow, that's not a very long time. And two, and this is something I don't know if he does it in this promo, but that a young primetime Brian Lee has a tendency to do, and it drives me insane. And I think it's because he's somewhat nervous because he knows that promos aren't his strong suit. But if you watch him when he cuts a promo, he sways back and forth.
Yeah, he does. Maybe it's because he's young.
And that's just, you know, I'm not trying to say, I mean, it's better than Tim Horner, so there you go. Even though he's not on the episode, I had to get away to get in a dig at Tim Horner.
You're just wrong. We cut to the ring, and now we have Carl Stiles, who is fighting Reno Riggins. It's a quick match, 3 minutes and 48 seconds. Dutch is supposed to actually be the one who's fighting in this match, but the match begins, and Dutch begins acting like he has the Chinese flu, as he says. And yes, he said Chinese flu, and how he's got 105 degree fever as he sits at the desk with Bob Caudle. Bob Caudle calls him out and says he can't believe he's scared to step in a ring, and he's obviously not sick. Dutch sends Carl Stiles to his bodyguard out to the ring to wrestle Reno Riggins for him. Stiles ends up getting the win as Primetime Brian Lee hits the ring at the very end. Primetime Brian Lee gets on the mic and he tells Carl Stiles he's been made a fool of and that he has no problem with Carl Stiles. Primetime Brian Lee has no problem with Carl Stiles, that is. Primetime Brian Lee challenges Dutch to get in the ring, but Dutch says from the desk, I've got a fever and can't do it. Primetime Brian Lee turns his back on Carl Stiles. Stiles jumps him from behind. I'd like to ask Jim Cornette a little bit more about Carl Stiles.
If we got Jim Cornette on the air, you're going to waste time talking about Carl Stiles. There you go.
Oh, maybe not. You know, not say that. But we go off the air with Primetime Brian Lee and Stiles slugging at each other without a solution as we.
So Reno Riggins was a enhancement guy in the Southeast Independence, and then also worked as a job guy for the WWE in the late 80s. So, again, not necessarily the plumber that also, you know, doubles as a job guy. The other thing I noticed here is that Stiles got scratched and at some point was bleeding from his cheek.
I saw that. I don't, and I could never figure out where it came
from. Yeah, I didn't either.
Yeah, so, when it happened. So then we get our favorite wrestling personality of all time, Doc.
Ric Flair?
Jim Cornette. Jim Cornette promo. We come back and we have Cornette cutting his first promo of the show. Now we are real time, 35 minutes into this episode without commercials. Doc, this has to be a record for generally a Cornette promo. Even though, I can't remember when we got a Cornette promo last week. As I say that, so maybe I'm wrong. It's a short and mild promo, nothing major. Jim just speculates on again who his new tag team is going to be. He says that Bob Armstrong. This is the key to this. He says that Bob Armstrong says you can't enter a nameless team because it's not fair to the others, and Cornette says it's only fair because if he did say who it was, everyone would bail out of the tournament.
So it sounds like we're going to have ourselves a tournament to determine some tag team champions.
But again, Cornette's been talking about this for a long time now. We're into week 5 and he's still teasing it, which back in the day they would tease things for weeks on end. Mm-hmm. So I like, you know, that's the nostalgia part of this, and that's what I like about it. They tease it for weeks on it. Now I know.
Idiot in suspense.
Jesus. So you're calling wrestling fans idiots. That means you're
I'm a wrestling fan.
You're an idiot. Great. What else you got on this promo?
No, not much. Anything? I mean, it's just pretty standard fare for him and, you know, coming out and talking a little bit of shit.
And as always, we'll load the promos at the end of the episode. So more to come up with the corny promo and everything at the end of the episode. And now we go to our main event of the episode. Again, as you can see, we're pretty much recapping this one pretty quickly this week. We've got our main event of the episode, and it is Robert Gibson against Jimmy Golden. So, Doc, who is this song that Robert Gibson
is playing? I don't know
to?
Exactly, because I would if I heard it, because they use pretty big name songs. The other thing to keep in mind is they use songs that are like, for the most part across the board, like 15 years old at this point. So we're talking about songs that are like 70 songs quite a bit. I when the Rock and Roll are together, I'm pretty sure they use Old Time Rock and Roll by Bob Seger, but I'm not sure. That would be my guess without going back and thinking about it.
I actually had somebody on Twitter reach out to me and told me the name of who it was, and I'm actually looking for it right now. I didn't even ask. He had just – I guess he had listened to our previous episode and heard us talking about it, and he mentioned who it was. So I'm trying to scroll and find it as I'm just sitting here talking aimlessly for no reason whatsoever.
Anyway,
I have to look for it. No. He was the Mass fan.
Right,
he follows
right. I'll
us.
I'll get the song. You just keep on – It says Rock and Roll is King by ELO.
I thought he said it was
Electric
something else.
Light Orchestra is what I've seen here.
Okay. That's
which you've never heard of, but then again, that doesn't mean much.
I guess you're right about that part of it. But anyway, so
out to Hard to Handle by the Black Crowes, which is actually fairly – that had been released about a year and a half before that. So that was actually the most current song around for them.
Oh,
there you go.
Good to know. All right. So back to everything here. So we got again, Gibson and Jimmy Golden, and Dutch continues, again, I know that's the match, but during the match, Dutch continues to talk about how he's sick. Dutch and Bob Cottle then continue to discuss who Cornette's new tag team is going to be. Dutch, again, still sick, but Bob Cottle wants to know why all of a sudden Dutch is feeling better. The thing is, Dutch is alluding to he's starting to feel better, and of course, this is after the match that he was supposed to have. And remember, it wasn't that he was supposed to have a match with Primetime Brian Lee. It was that he was going to be in the ring, which made him fair game to Primetime Brian Lee. Whereas when he's at the desk, he's safe and off limits, according to Bullet Bob Armstrong. So he went from I took some Advil, and he went from 105 degree fever and brought it down with a couple of Advil. They then begin to talk about how Robert Gibson is now a singles wrestler. They announced that Terry Bam Bam Gordy is making his debut starting next week. And Ivan and Vladimir, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, show up outside the ring. And, of course, you know, they are aligned with Jimmy Golden. Bob says, something is up. Yes, we know something is up. Dutch says, oh, no, they're just defending their friend and supporting him. Like, they're just out there, you know, innocently. Long story short on this one, Gibson is on his way to victory when the Koloffs jump in and decide to interfere, giving Gibson the win by DQ. It's a rather uneventful episode and match overall, but still not terrible. Only 48 minutes of time with no commercial, but we are actually done with the matches from the week. Did you have anything else from this actual match?
No, it was, you know, two guys that were, you know, good hands, absolutely. So, good match.
Okay. I didn't have anything else. There was nothing special here. It's just kind of set up. It's kind of setting up something else. But, you know, again, nothing earth-shattering of any sort. Gibson, we then cut to a Gibson and Primetime Brian Lee promo with Bullet Bob Armstrong. And Armstrong says to Gibson and Primetime Brian Lee, you guys can get a few guys together and show these Koloffs and Golden something. I'll turn my back. Did you catch that, Doc? Like, Bullet Bob is
family friendly to let's go stick one up these guys' asses.
Yeah, right. You go have at it. Gibson vows revenge on Jimmy Golden. And in primetime, Brian Lee talks about his match with Carl Stiles, who jumped him earlier in the program. He's going to go through Stiles and eventually get his hands on Dutch and break him in half. Not the best episode. What you think, Doc?
Yeah, to me, this is my least favorite episode so far. And I think the tiebreaker is probably the building again. I'm going to give this 5 disability checks.
You're being more generous than me. I'm probably sitting at 4 with it. It just was, the Ron Wright promo was the best thing that happened in this episode. Other than that, here's the thing that got me about this episode. To compare it to an episode of Monday Night Raw, was there anything as far as the matches in this episode that have long-term effects, at least actually in the next couple of weeks?
Maybe the Carl Stiles with Dutch and Primetime Brian Lee, but other than that, no. It seemed like it was sort of a placeholder.
Yeah, and that was my – and that's the gripe we have right a lot of times with Monday Night Raw, because a lot of stuff is placeholder. It's a lot of just, you know – let's fill some time. I felt like this episode, to give an overall analysis of it, was a bit of a time filler, in a sense. That was my thing. And I don't know. I guess I got to give it probably 4 checks out of 10.
Well, and that probably has a lot to do with the length of this episode, which is probably shorter than our other ones. Is that this episode wasn't? I mean, we were marked for this territory and for Cornette, but I mean. When you get Mike and Doc together, we're going to call it down the middle. So this episode wasn't the best, and there's nothing more to say.
Yeah, that's it at this point. There's nothing more. It wasn't the best, but look, hang with us. There's greatness to come as we proceed forward with our Smoky Mountain Wrestling reviews. So, hey, if you're enjoying the show, we really appreciate it. Please give us a 5-star review on iTunes. We would that would help us out tremendously, or Stitcher if that's how you listen to the show. Subscribe to the show, however you get your podcast from, whether that's Podbean, Stitcher, iTunes, TuneIn, whatever it is. You know, subscribe to the show. You'll get each and every episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling podcast. You'll also get our normal Book in the Territory weekly show that we do each and every week on Thursday nights. Follow us on Twitter at @BTT_podcast. I'm at Mike504Saints. We've got our Amazon link in the show notes. We've got our PayPal if you'd like to donate to the show. And then also get your very own, pretty much brand new at this point, Book in the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast t-shirts from Pro Wrestling Tees. The easiest way to get to it is go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/bookintheterritory. And then if you click shop now, it'll bring you to our store. Again, we got our normal shirts up, Book in the Territory podcast, but you can also get if you're a fan of this show, the way to support it is to get you a Smoky Mountain Wrestling podcast t-shirt. Also, any of those links I just mentioned, whether it was Amazon, whether it was PayPal, even our social media stuff is linked in the show notes for this episode. So check it out. Help us out, man. We'd love to hear from you. So that's all I pretty much got this week on the show. Hang tight. And Doc, you got anything else before I get out of here?
Let's do it.
All right, man. So hang tight. We got the promos of the week coming up. And for now, you know what Mike and Doc always say when we get out of here? Book it.
Robert Gibson, are you ready for the main event? Boy, you know who you got today in the ring in the main event? Jimmy Golden. I got myself quite a reputation around here, sonny boy, and I'm going to tell you something. You're in for a heck of a wrestling lesson. I understand they call you the Rock and Roll Express or something like that. I hope you ain't coming down there to dance, buddy, because we're going to be in a fight. I'm going to chop you down to size. See you in the middle of the ring.
Ivan Vladimir Koloff, Jimmy Golden, everyone knows that you cheated us, and we want another shot at you. You know, Jackie, we're not the kind of guys that would cry about a particular thing like this. But Ivan has come out and said that Vladimir was away in Russia. Well, let me tell you, I wish we could be here live on Smoky Mountain Wrestling this week, because we'd meet you guys nose to nose right in the ring. We had prior commitments in Japan. Let me tell you guys this. We're on the phone daily getting ourselves a 6-man partner. We'll see you, Jimmy Golden, Ivan Koloff, Vladimir Koloff, when we get back from Japan.
Well, that's what happened, fans. And then, of course, this man right here, Commissioner
of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, Bob Armstrong. Bob, you've reviewed all of that, and I know you have some comments about it.
Well, I really do. It's kind of different being on this side of the fence, but I did watch that tape, and I know the fight was interesting, no doubt about it. Tempers flared, and people just fought like an out-and-out fight. But I'm going to tell you something. They're professionals. We can't have that going on because they may mess up a TV camera. Some wrestling fans may get hurt. Yeah. So I'm going to fine every wrestler involved in that brawl $500.
Hey, good.
All right. Good. Well, the next thing I have talked to the Fantastics, and I feel that they have got a legal gripe. So when they get back from Japan, I'm going to grant them a six-man tag right here on TV against the Colossus and Golden, and I'm going to let the Fantastics pick a partner of their own.
Oh.
And one more thing before I leave, Mr. Dutch Mantel, Primetime Brian Lee has been on my back to get you anywhere he can, but I've told him don't come messing with you as long as you're out here and you're announcing. We're not going to disrupt the TV matches. But if you ever get in that ring by yourself, then, brother, you're on your own. I may not can hold him back.
All right, fans, before we go to the ring to see Hollywood Bob Holly in action, let's hear these words from a man who's been the center of a lot of controversy lately, Mr. Ron Wright.
Wrestling fans, I'd like to share something with you. I'd like to read one of the thousands of letters that I've had in the last several weeks on this wrestling program. I want to read it to you. Dear Mr. Wright, I am writing you this letter to say that I have been a fan of yours for years. I know that you were one of the greatest and best-loved wrestlers ever, and I always liked how you showed them other wrestlers such good sportsmanship when they tried to maim and cripple you. I sure am sorry to hear how you need money for your operation. Please take this here $5 I am sending you. I wish it could be more for a kind old man like you. Maybe the other fans will write in and send money too until you can find a good Christian athlete to manage. You don't know what this does to me. This nearly breaks me down. It makes me feel good to know that these good fans have been a supporter of mine. They know I was a good Christian, clean, scientific wrestler for years, and I appreciate this from the bottom of my heart.
Fans, with me right now, an outstanding wrestler. He's been all over the world. He's taken on the very finest professional wrestlers worldwide and defeated them. None other than Mr. Wonderful himself, Paul Orndorff. And Paul, welcome. Hey, you got a lot of fans here, I see that. And I know one reason you got to be here is the tournament, which is going to be upcoming very soon and very shortly for the Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Championship.
Very true. First of all, I'd like to say hello to a lot of people out there because it's like a homecoming for me because I used to live up here, I guess, about 10, 11 years ago, right off of Walker Springs Road. And I know there's some people out there. I notice their faces out there, so I'd like to tell you hello and glad to be back. And you hit the nail on the head. You know, Mr. Wonderful's been all over the world, and there's no doubt about it. I've helped. And I'm not bragging or nothing, but I'm just telling you like it is, right? And that's the kind of guy that I am. I'll tell you like it is whether you like it or not. But I've held the North American heavyweight belt, the world belt, Southeastern, you name it, I've had them. And, you know, the most, the gratification that I've had and the best feeling that I've had is after I've gone in there and faced the best competition that there was in the world and walk out of there beating that best, you know. So that's why the Smoky Mountain right now Wrestling Federation is probably the hotbed because everybody's heard about this big tournament that's coming up in the next few weeks. So what I have to do, and everybody's going to be gunning for Mr. Wonderful out there because let's face it, Mr. Wonderful has done it all. He's been on both sides of that road, brother, and he knows what it's all about. They're after me.
Well, we got to talk about this too, Paul. I know that your favorite move has been declared illegal in Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
You know, that's what I couldn't understand. Whenever I got the bylaws and the rules and what you can and what you can do, on the top of the list up there, it said no pile drivers. I don't know why, but I'm going to look into this, you know, a little bit more, and we're going to find out the reason for that.
All right, and fans, talking about the rules, the pile driver being illegal, and fans have been wanting to know what some of the other rules are as far as Smoky Mountain Wrestling is concerned. So let's hear those rules now. These are the rules for Smoky Mountain Wrestling as laid down by Commissioner Bob Armstrong. Grounds for automatic disqualification, throwing opponent over the top rope, a low blow, using a pile driver hold, grounds for a DQ and $500 fine, hitting the referee, and using a foreign object during the match. And fans, those are the rules for Smoky Mountain Wrestling, the rules set down by Smoky Mountain Commissioner Bob Armstrong.
What's wrong with you, Dutch?
I don't feel good, man. I think I'm coming down with something. I just don't feel right here.
Yeah, hey, you may not feel good, but Dutch, I tell you, here's something that may make you feel even worse. Let's hear these comments from Primetime Brian Lee.
Oh, man.
Dutch Mantell, since day one, you've been running from primetime Brian Lee. They tell me now if I grab you from behind that desk when you're running your big mouth, I might get suspended or fined. But when you put one foot in that ring, you're mine, pal, and I'm going to break you in half, and you're going down 1, 2, 3. You may be good, but you're not ready for prime time.
What in the world, Dutch?
Oh, but I think I'm getting sick, man. I think I'm coming down with the Hong Kong swine.
You're
Russian Chinese flu. I can't get in the ring.
You're supposed to be wrestling.
No,
you've been
I'm
telling
sick.
The fans all during the program.
I'm sick. Wait a minute. Carl, come here. Since I'm so sick, just get in that ring and wrestle that match for me, okay? I'm just too sick to go. I bet I got 105-degree temperature.
Dutch.
Man, that just hit me all of a sudden, Bob Caudle.
I can't believe it. You're going to back out on the match against Reno Riggins?
I'm sick. I don't...
Ladies and gentlemen, this match will be one fall. Weighing in at 223 pounds from Reno, Nevada, Reno Riggins. Weighing in at 274 pounds from Murphy, North Carolina, Carl Stiles.
Oh, I'm glad.
Dutch.
I'm glad Carl was here to wrestle this match.
Could the announcement from Commissioner Bob Armstrong?
Feel my head,
no,
Bob
could
Connell.
That announcement have anything to do with you
feel
getting sick?
Feel my head. I bet I got 105-degree temperature hit me all of a sudden.
You know, if you're going to step a foot in that ring, then you know you become a prime target for prime time Brian Lee. That's got to be it, Dutch. I can't believe you did. You must be a hypochondriac or something, just about like Ron Wright. I can't believe it, Dutch.
I am not.
Hey, I had a lot more respect
is.
For you than that, Dutch.
First of all, Brian Lee, not only is a potential serial killer and a psychopath, he's also obviously riddled with infectious diseases, and that's probably what I caught this from. I probably caught it from him. I'm so dead gum sick. I tell you, I probably got the same thing President Bush has.
Oh boy, here's Styles.
I can pass out at any time, and I'm not getting any compassion from you.
You're absolutely not. I don't, Dutch, I don't believe that. I don't believe that you just suddenly got ill like that.
Check my pulse. How is it? Is it fast?
To send a man in to do your dirty work for you, that's exactly what you did.
Oh, man, you might have to call the paramedics here a minute.
All right, stop. Fans, you know one of the biggest questions in wrestling right now is, who is Jim Cornette's tag team going to be? Well, let's hear these words. Let's go right to the horse's mouth.
You know, it seems like Commissioner Bob Armstrong's leading the gutless brigade around here. There's not a man anywhere in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. They're all a bunch of gutless cowards. They're scared of my new tag team, scared of who they might be, scared of what they might do. Bob Armstrong says, you can't enter a team that's nameless, that's faceless in the Smoky Mountain Tag Team Title Tournament. That wouldn't be fair to all the other teams. Well, I got news for you, Bob Armstrong. Nobody, but nobody's going to know who my tag team is until that tournament rolls around. I'm doing you a favor, because they'd all be so scared, everybody entering that tournament, they'd bail out like rats deserting a sinking ship.
Fans, right now, Brian Lee, Rock and Roll Robert Gibson, and, of course, Commissioner Bob Armstrong. Bob, it looks like restoring order is going to be a big task.
Well, I'm doing the best I can to keep order, but, you know, there's always going to be guys like the Koloffs, Jimmy Golden, Dirty Dutch Mantell. They're going to get away with whatever they can get away with. But I just want to be the first to tell them that on this side of the fence, we got a lot of firepower, too. And I want to tell you, Robert, and primetime Brian Lee, if you want to get a few guys together and maybe even up the odds and show them some firepower, then I may be tempted to look the other way.
Robert, what about that?
You know, all I want to say is one thing. Jimmy Golden, between me and you, it's not over. I'll say one thing, guys. Payback's heck, and Jimmy Golden won't be long for payback time.
Well, Brian, you cut it in there from that Carl style.
You know, I want to say thanks to Bob Armstrong, because next week I have a match with Carl Stiles, and Carl Stiles, I'm going through you, and when Dutch Mantell, I get my hands on you, I'm going to break you in half.
All right, fans, that's about going to wrap it up for this week. Don't forget, next week, right here on Smoky Mountain Wrestling, Terry Bam Bam Gordy will be here in our main event. This one right here, primetime Brian Lee, Carl Stiles. We'll see you then. So long for now.